The reading is displayed there, and I'll be reading from New King James Version. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are the life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil.
Good morning. You know what I'm going to say, Happy Mommy's Day. And so if you've not said that to your mom, do so before this day is out and spend some time with your mom, because as we all know, they're not with us forever. And you miss them when they're gone. So make sure you let them know how much you love them and how much you honor them on this day. So thank you for coming. And if you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest. We hope that you'll follow along in your Bibles as we study together. And if you should have any questions about anything you see or hear, let us know about that. We'd be happy to open the Bible up with you and sit down across the kitchen table or right here in one of the pews or wherever you like and study and try and come to an understanding and agreement of what God says. We will meet again tonight at 5 o'clock, and we meet Wednesdays at 7. Come and be with us at any or all of those services. As you can see, we're going to be talking about social media today. We address this every once in a while, usually in terms of just a point or two here and there, but this, we have an entire lesson dedicated to the subject. I'm doing this by request. Somebody requested of me, and I thought it was a very good request. I'm always looking for new topics and new ideas, and I think this was a very good one. I'm one of the older generation that doesn't dabble much in social media, but I'm not totally oblivious. I'm aware that it's there, and I'm aware of the problems that are connected to it. So I'm not totally in the dark about these things, but it's good for us to just stop and think about proper etiquette on social media. And parents, these are things you need to be teaching to your children as you bring them up. It's not enough just to have a preacher once in a blue moon say something from the pulpit about it. You need to be teaching your children this and getting these values instilled in their heads. It seems, of course, that social media is here to stay. It has been around, I guess, close to 20 years now, maybe a little longer, in a big way. And it seems like it's here to stay, but that can be a blessing or that can be a curse depending upon what we do with it. It doesn't have to automatically, inherently be a bad thing, but it can be a bad thing, like a lot of things. The telephone, when it was invented, was a wonderful thing, but it can be a bad thing because sometimes the telephone is used to spread gossip. And so just like that, just like it is with the telephone, so it is with social media. It can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. But it seems like today everybody wants to be connected to some extent or another. My biggest connection, I guess, would be email, you know. But everybody wants some level of connection. Some want every bit of it. Give me everything. Give me Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. Give it all to me. And then others, you know, I'm okay with email and a telephone call every now and then. And so you have everything in between. But here's the thing. When you connect to social media, please remember that you should not disconnect from God in the process. This is what we're trying to emphasize today. You are a Christian at all times. Even when you're online, you are a Christian, and you are to conduct yourself as a Christian, so you cannot disconnect yourself from God. The things that we post on social media are telling on us. The things that we post on social media reveal what's in our hearts. And that's why I had Brother Bud read that passage in Proverbs 4. In verse 23 in particular, Solomon says, and he's given advice here to young people, and he says in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That's a principle that's found throughout the Scriptures. There's another passage that we're familiar with, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 15, I don't remember the exact verse, just doing this off the top of my head right here, but Jesus said, from the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, and so forth. And so again and again and again, the Scriptures emphasize the need to be careful with our hearts And what we end up posting on social media is a reflection of what's in our heart. Now let me throw a little surprise at you here. Social media is not private. Now sometimes people try to defend the things they post in saying, well, that's my private page, that's my private site, and that's my business. No, it is not private. Hence the name social. Do you see that? Social media. It is not a private thing. It is a very, very public thing. And like it or not, people will judge you by what you post. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 just a second. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm well aware of the context here. Jesus is actually talking about false teachers, but he's also talking about a principle here. About inspecting the fruits of other people. Notice with me verses 15 to 20. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They look harmless on the outside, but on the inside they're ravenous wolves. They're out to devour you, you see." And then here's the principle, and this goes beyond just identifying false teachers. You will know them by their fruits. That goes beyond just identifying false teachers. It certainly includes that, but that's a principle of our entire lives. You'll know them by their fruits. What do you mean, Jesus? Well, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Obviously not. Even so, just like that's true, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. That's a principle that is broader than identifying false teachers. It's talking here about how we know somebody's heart. And when you post things on social media, you're revealing what's in your heart. You're revealing the things that are there. You're revealing where your true loyalty lies. And people will judge you by the things that you post there. And so when you stop and think about it, this is a very appropriate subject for Christians to think about. And so let's just think about some applications of this. When you post things on the internet and on social media, watch the language that we use. People are very prone to use bad language in our culture today. We've got a very coarse and rude culture, and people are prone to use bad language. And when you hang around people like that, whether it's personally or online, and you get exposed to that on a regular basis, it kind of wears your resistance down. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself using that kind of language. Sometimes Christians are known and seen on, and I have people, a lot of people come to me and talk to me, "Did you know what brother so-and-so," and listen to me, "what brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so posted on their Facebook page?" And so this is not just people out in the world, there are Christians doing these things, you see, and I hear about it. It comes back to me. You think it's private? No, it comes back. I hear about these things. I'm well aware of a lot of these things. You think nobody knows, or you think the preacher doesn't know, or you think the elders don't know? We know. We're aware of it because it gets back to us. And so people will take the Lord's name in vain. You should never do that. And just because you're online and you're typing it doesn't make it okay. And you've heard us say many times the very common OMG. I want you to understand what you're doing there. You're taking the Lord's name in vain. "Well, I didn't type the words." Well, you're saying the same thing. OMG stands for "Oh my God." And you're taking the Lord's name in vain. You should only use the Lord's name to pray to Him or to talk about Him. Talk to Him or talk about Him. Teach about Him, you see. Otherwise, it's off limits. The name of the Lord is holy. Sometimes there's cursing. In the vernacular, we call it cussing, but that's really just a corruption of the word cursing. You're calling down curses. And I try to put it in a polite way, but we'll say things like, "May God do this to you." Now, nobody actually phrases it that way. They just say the G and the D, you see? You see? But you're calling down a curse. That's cursing. And you're calling for God to do terrible things to people. And then sometimes there is sexual innuendo that's used on these web pages and on this social media, sexual innuendo and flirtation and things like that. In fact, a lot of homes have been busted up because of social media. Sometimes two people, they connect online and they start an innocent flirtation, and the next thing you know, they're having an affair. And so lots and lots of harm has been done. Watch the language that you use, whether it be taking the Lord's name in vain, whether it be cursing, whether it be sexual innuendo or sexually charged or explicit language. There's a verse that covers all of this in Ephesians 4 and verse 29 and 30. because I want you to slide right on into 30 as we read this. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word no there, circle that, underline it, highlight it, point arrows to it. That means none, zero, zip, nada. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now don't leave that part out, because I want you to see what he's saying here. He's saying when you use corrupt communication, when you use corrupt speech and corrupt language, and take the Lord's name in vain and curse other people, and use sexually explicit or sexually charged language on the internet, he's saying you're bringing grief to God. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. It makes him sad. It makes him sad because that's not the way he taught you. That's not what he wants you to do. That's not the way he wants you to live. And so you bring grief to the Spirit of God. And you're also damaging and endangering your soul's salvation. So this is serious stuff. Watch the language that we use. Also, watch the pictures that we post. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is laying down principles here for dress, and he's talking specifically to women, but I believe the principles here, as far as modesty is concerned, apply to men as well. And he says in verses 9 and 10, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And he talks, notice the things that he talks about there when he talks about modest apparel, and then he says with propriety and with moderation. You don't find those on the rack at JCPenney's. Those are character traits. And he's saying, this is what you wear. You adorn yourself with propriety and with moderation. This is what you put on. These are character traits. And the ideal that's being taught here is, if your heart is right, and that's what we're talking about here, a man's heart. If your heart is right, it will be reflected in the way that you dress. And it will be reflected in the things that you post as well. It will show through. And Christians should never dress immodestly. Sometimes we got this crazy logic that enters our head and say, well, I'm at the beach and therefore it's okay. No, it's not okay. Now, it's okay to go to the beach, but it's not okay to go to the beach and dress like everybody else. That's not okay, folks. And people, we get it in our heads. Well, and if you're going to be that way, what about the nude beach? Okay? If we're going to follow that line of reasoning, well, it's at the beach, therefore it's okay to be immodest. Well, what about the nude beach? Is it okay to be nude at the nude beach? You know better than that. You know better than that. And so people dress immodestly, and then the wonder of all wonders, they'll take a selfie or they'll have someone take a picture of them and post it. And you see these pictures of Christians in bikinis. Excuse me? You see these pictures of Christian men running around without a shirt on. Excuse me? What are you doing? What are you thinking? You are not thinking like a Christian. And you are displaying to the world where your heart is and where your mind is. And it's not on Christ. It's not on Christ. So watch the pictures that you post. Are the pictures appropriate? Are they immodest? Are they in some other way bringing shame and reproach upon the Lord? You need to think about these things, folks. This is very important, and it's not okay just because it's your private Facebook page, because it's not private. It's very public, and it's very much out there for all the world to see. How about this? The topics we discuss. I've never understood, this is one of the reasons why I don't care for social media personally, this is just me, but I've never understood the incessant need that people have to reply to every single thing they see posted. Why must you reply to everything? You don't have to reply to everything, and it's not smart to reply to everything. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26, and there's two verses here, back to back. And if you didn't know better, you'd think you was getting contradictory advice, but you're really not. You're getting situational advice. And in Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5, he says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. You'll end up looking as foolish as he does. And then he flips it right around and he says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, it takes judgment to know when to answer and when not to answer. But the point is, there are times when it's better off to keep your mouth shut or to keep your keyboard off. and not type and not reply to every single thing you see out there. Because you're advertising to the world where your heart is and what's on your mind and whether it's really on Christ or not. And so you don't have to reply to everything. Number two under this category, there are some topics that are better off left alone. There are some things that are just not fitting to talk about. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 for this one. In Ephesians 5, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. And here the Apostle Paul is talking about living that Christian life and how Christianity affects us 24/7 and not just on Sunday. But he says in verse 11, have no fellowship, and the word fellowship means participation. Have no participation with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them to seek in secret. There are some things you just don't talk about. They're just not fitting for public discussion, for public discourse. And so some topics are better left alone. Now, let me just stop here and give you an aside here while we're on that subject about some topics better left alone. And give you a little advice as an older man who's been around a while, as an evangelist, and as an elder, okay? You're getting a little bit of experience here. Now, you can take what I say here for what it's worth. What I'm about to say is not carved in stone, and it's not gospel. This is advice. This is wisdom. But listen to me. Christians, be careful about discussing politics, please. Let me tell you why. It is lawful to do so. It is certainly lawful. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Now listen carefully. It's not always right to do what you have a right to do. It's not always smart to do what you have a right to do. And here's what I'm getting at here. For us, job one, and this is especially true for me as an evangelist, job one is converting the lost. Now you get out there, and by the way, if you drive by my house, you will never find a political sign out there. I vote, and I have political views. I have discussed my political views with some of you. When I know that you're in sympathy with what I think, then I will usually kind of open up and discuss those things with you. But you will not find a sign in my yard, vote for so-and-so. You will not find a bumper sticker on my car ever, vote for so-and-so. Let me tell you why. Because when I put a vote for someone on my car or a sign, and I get up here in the pulpit, guess what I've just done? I've alienated half my audience. You see what I'm driving at here? You see what I'm driving at here? This is wisdom. This is not scripture. It's wisdom. And sometimes we're better off to leave politics alone, because when you alienate people, now you're going to talk to them about their soul, and they can't get past whether you're an R or a D. They can't get past that. And so you take that for what it's worth. You take that for what it's worth. But I think it's good advice. I think it's sound advice. And plug that in right here on the social media. You get on your Facebook page and you start posting things about this candidate or that candidate, and especially if it's not true. And there's a lot of that done too. Especially if it's not true. Be very careful about this, because you're going to alienate people that you're trying to win for the Lord Jesus. Think of that before you post something. And then when you think about topics, there are some topics that are just personal. In Matthew 18:15, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, make sure you post it on Facebook and let everybody know what he did. That's not what Jesus said. And I'm well aware that there was no Facebook in the days of Jesus. But I think we get the point here. The point is that the Lord says you handle these things, these are personal matters. You don't get on the telephone and you don't get on the internet and you don't go around the person and talk about the person behind their back. You go to that person and you talk to them directly. And so watch the topics you discuss on social media. That's just good biblical reasoning there. There are some things that you don't need to reply to. There are some things that are better left alone. And there are some things that are very personal. So watch the topics you discuss. Now here's another one. Watch the attitudes you display. Now, as someone who writes, I write in the bulletin, and sometimes those sermons and things get posted on our Facebook page here at church, and as someone who corresponds with email, I'm well aware of the fact that sometimes your attitude is difficult to discern from a written correspondence. That's the downfall of written correspondence. You can't see the expression on their face. You can't see the concern in their eyes. You can't see the attitude, the tone of their voice, and things like that. And so written communication has a downfall, and sometimes it can conceal our attitude, but not always. Sometimes your attitude comes shining right through when you write. And the attitude comes shining through. And we need to make sure when we're posting things on social media that we're not being rude or crude or just downright smart alecks. That's not the way Christians behave. And so let's be careful about that. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 to make this point. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 8. Peter, he says, finally, all of you be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. My New King James uses the word courteous. That's a lost value in our culture. Talking about the rude culture we live in. You don't hear yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please, and thank you much anymore. We need to raise our children better than that as Christians. We need to teach them these things, these manners, you see. Just be courteous. Have manners. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, that's the blessing, by the way, good life and good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so let's watch the attitudes. Let's be tenderhearted. Let's be courteous. Let's have compassion one for another. Let's not return evil for evil. Someone might be smart with you, but you don't have to be smart right back, do you? You don't have to be a smart aleck right back. And so watch the attitudes that we show. Watch the causes that we support. You can get all wrapped up in a cause. And we were talking about politics a little while ago. It might be a political cause. It might be some other cause. And some causes are worthy and some causes are not. And some causes are not really conducive to Christianity. And we get caught up in these causes. Let's make sure that the causes that we support, whatever they are, and everybody has different interests, but let's make sure that it's biblical. Let's make sure that it's something that the Lord would not be ashamed of. That He wouldn't be ashamed to say, yeah, I support Planned Parenthood, who's in the business of giving abortions. Why would you do that? Why would a Christian do that? Why? You see. And so be careful of the cause. Is it biblical? Is it something that's going to reflect well upon you? Is it something, more importantly, is it going to reflect well upon the Lord? Remember, people are drawing conclusions about you and the Lord based upon what you post on your social media pages. Think about that before you post it. Make sure the causes are biblical and that they reflect well on the Lord. Let me give you a passage on this. 1 Corinthians 10. I've tried to attach a passage to every one of these points, and sometimes more than one passage, just to show you that I'm not just spouting off here, that I'm not just making this stuff up. But in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This cause that I'm supporting, is that to the glory of God? Is that going to bring glory to God? Is that going to bring glory to Jesus Christ? Or is it going to bring shame and reproach to God? And shame and reproach to Jesus Christ. Is it biblical and does it reflect well upon the Lord? Notice how he puts that in the most mundane of things. Whether you eat or drink, you mean it matters what I eat and drink? It can. That's the whole point of this passage. It can matter what you eat or drink at certain times and in certain contexts. In this context, it was the eating of meat sacrificed to idols. Yes, it can matter. It can matter about your influence. It can matter about the impact you have. It can matter about what you're reflecting, about what's in your heart. And so even the most mundane things like eating and drinking, and then he broadens it. Whatever, I don't care what it is, whatever you do. Do it to the glory of God. Ask yourself, will this bring glory to God? Or will it bring shame to God? And I think that's just good, sound, biblical advice. Watch the links that you share. We see something we like, and we put that link into our email or into our page, and we send that off to somebody else, and we want to share that. Let's be careful about what we're sharing. First of all, is the thing that you're sharing, maybe it's an article on some Bible thing, but is that article teaching the truth? That's something to think about, isn't it? Because if it's not teaching the truth and you share that with somebody, you might be leading them down the wrong pathway. But I like this little point he made over here. Yeah, but what about the rest of the article? Is it teaching the truth or is it teaching error? Let's just take it out of the realm of the religious here. Is it true or is it false? There's a lot of gossip that's spread via social media and via the internet. And a lot of things that just simply aren't true. Did you know this about so-and-so? And getting back to our thing on politics, sometimes it's about a political person. Did you know? And I'm telling you, folks, a lot of that stuff that's circulated around there is just simply not true. It's just not true. And so you better make sure before you send that on to somebody else and you share that, oh, I like that. I like what that says because it's negative against somebody I don't like. But is it true? Because if it's not true, you're just spreading gossip. And you're part of the problem. And you're not part of the solution. So you think real long and hard before you share that. And are you sharing gossip? Is it just flat out gossip? Now, I've heard people over the years defend gossip by saying, well, it was true. Okay, suppose it is true. Is it something that really needs to be repeated? What good is going to come by slandering somebody else's name, even if it is true, by just slandering and slamming somebody else's name? What good is served by that? How does that glorify God? How does that glorify Jesus Christ? Just because it happens to be true, why don't you, as we said earlier, why don't you just go to that person and talk to them directly instead of spreading around the gossip? With this, we'll look at Titus chapter 2 for the scripture on this point. Titus chapter 2, we'll read verses 6 through 8. In Titus 2, verse 6, and by the way, in the context here, he's telling Titus to address different audiences in the congregation. He talked about the older men, verse 2. He talked about the older women, verses 3 through 5. And then verse 6, the young men, and skipping down to verse 9, servants. And so he just addresses different categories of people in the congregation. In verse 6, he says, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself, now that's Titus, and he was a young man. So you be the example. In all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine or teaching, showing integrity. When you teach, show integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Sound speech. Think before you act. Think before you share. Think before you post. Is it sound? Is it true? Is it biblical? Is it gossip? Would it be better off just to not say it or not post it or not share it? That's just good advice, folks, and it comes straight from the book of God. But let me get one more in here before the lesson is over. Let's watch the things that we like. You know, we got, there it is over there in the corner. See that little thumbs up? You see that on Facebook? Like. I like that. I want you to think about what you're saying when you like something. Get you a dictionary and look up the word like. I like chocolate, especially dark chocolate, okay? But like means you're showing a preference or an approval. Let that sink in. You're showing a preference or approval for something. I like this. I like this page. I like this post. I like that link you shared. I like this. Let me ask you a question. Are you liking sin? Because I think some Christians do. You get those reports all the time. Well, so-and-so posted something that was not worthy of being posted, and then someone else liked that. And we end up liking sin. Let me show you a problem with this. Turn your Bibles to 2 John, verses 9 through 11. In 2 John 9, 10, and 11, John says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And so the doctrine of Christ sets up these boundaries. It puts a fence around us. And it says, you've got to stay inside the boundaries. You can't cross the line and stay out there. You've got to stay within the line. Stay within the doctrine of Christ. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you, you know, you can come to somebody through social media. You don't have to go over and knock on their door. You can come to somebody through social media. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or into your laptop or into your device. You follow me? Don't receive him or greet him. For he who greets him, here's the key thing, shares in his evil deeds. This is why this is a problem. If you find yourself lacking something that's sinful, you're participating in it. The word share there is the word for fellowship. Is partaker, I think the old King James says. He that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Well, I didn't do it. No, but you shared it, didn't you? And you liked it, didn't you? You put your stamp of approval on it. You put your imprimatur on it. You said, yeah, I like that. Even though you didn't say it, you are a participant and a sharer, a partaker of the evil deeds. That's why that's important. That's why that's so serious. And it's, again, as I've said, it's public. It's out there. That's why it's called social media. It's out there for all the world to see. Don't find yourself out there liking sin, please. Just don't do that. Bottom line here, let's be careful out there. Out there in the net. Out there in the virtual world. Be careful out there. Because listen, once you post something, it's out there forever. Digitally. I guarantee you it is. Oh, I hit delete. It's gone. No, it's not. Once you post something out there, it's out there somewhere, digitally. And let me just give you an easy way to show this. I know it's out there beyond this, okay? But just to give you an easy way, when you post something, someone else likes it and they share it. Guess what? Now it's out there. You can't delete that. That's gone. That's out of your hands. So once you've reposted or once you've shared, it's out there, folks. And rest assured, what I'm telling you here, even if it's not reposted and even if it's not shared, it's out there digitally somewhere. Somebody can dig that up. There's no doubt in my mind. Criminal investigators do this kind of thing all the time. They can investigate. They can do an investigation on you, and you thought you deleted that 5 years ago, but here it is. We found what you said. It's out there, folks. Now, let me throw this in too before we close up. I know we all make mistakes. We all do. And I'm not defending the mistakes, but I'm saying we're human and sometimes we make mistakes. But let's not let that occasional mistake become an excuse for defending a pattern of conduct. That's really what I'm driving at here. Make a mistake, fix it. Fix it with the Lord and fix it with the people you need to fix it with. But I'm more interested in the pattern that you're seeing develop out there among some who are followers of Christ. There's just a pattern of conduct of doing all these inappropriate things. I want you to understand the impact of these things. All of these things, not only is this biblical, but this can affect your employment. When you go apply for a job, you don't think for a second they're not going to check your social media pages. They are. They're going to see what you post. It can affect your employment. It can cause your termination from employment. Happens all the time. These things that you post can carry legal liability. Randy probably could go on and on about that, him being an attorney. He's probably experienced this with some of his clients, you see. But legal, and just as one example, there's this thing called sexual harassment. And you make an inappropriate remark at some female, and it's out there on your, oh, you looked awful nice today, and it might have been an innocent remark. But somebody can twist that around, and there can be legal liability for that. Be very, very careful. And bottom line, this stuff's going to affect your eternal destiny. This is heaven and hell. This is eternity with God or eternity with the devil. Let me leave you with one final thing. We've all seen, I can only stomach about 30 seconds of it, but sometimes you're flipping through the channels and you come across this show, and he may not even be on anymore, but the Jerry Springer show. Don't turn your social media presence into the Jerry Springer show. Just don't do it. It doesn't reflect well on you. It doesn't reflect well on this congregation. And it, most importantly, does not reflect well on the Lord. I hope the lesson has been of some benefit to you. Teach these things to your children. Instill these values. This is important stuff. Just as every bit as important as anything else we've taught from this pulpit. Take out your songbooks if you're using them. The song is projected as you can see. It's time to talk for just a few minutes about the invitation. The most important decision that you could ever make in your life is that one right there. There's nothing else any more important than that. I have decided to follow Jesus. You have an opportunity today to make that decision. Now, most of the people in this room have already made that decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. But there are some here who haven't. And that's, I'm telling you, laying aside the person you marry, laying aside the job that you have, right there, that is the most important decision that you'll ever make. It's more important than the person you marry. It's more important than the job you have. It's more important than anything. And we hope you make the right decision. Because if you decide to follow Jesus, there's something wonderful waiting at the end of life's way. It's called heaven. All blessings and no curses. But if you decide not to follow Jesus, that's the wrong choice. You're going to wind up in a devil's hell, spending eternity with the devil and his angels in torment. To me, the choice is a no-brainer. But I know how people struggle with those choices. And we hope to encourage you. As we sing this song, we hope to encourage you to decide to follow Jesus today. If we can help you, won't you come right now while we stand and sing?